Is this working? I think so. Okay. Start from the top.
Oh, by the way, I bought the new set of complete set of promotion with Rav Soloveitchik.
Oh, yeah? It's on all of them, right? Oh, I only have Bereishis and Shmos. Okay. Let's start from the beginning with the first Rashi. And we're going to be on this Rashi, and the question, I want to give different ideas on this Rabbi Yitzchak's question. First of all, even before we started, because he's Rashi's quoting his father, I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak. Look at the Sifsei Chachamim to the right. And Mefarshim Akshim, Shalom Matzina Shiyehe Muska B'Gemara V'Medrash Zu Hamamar B'Shem Rabbi Yitzchak. The Mefarshim explain that we never heard this question in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. Elamasha Oma Matam Posach Hu Medrash. This is a Medrash. It's nothing to do with Rabbi Yitzchak. Elish is there Rabbi Yitzchak Hoya Ovim Sharashi. He was the father of Rashi. V'lo Hoya Kolkach Gadol B'Torah. Was it such a, you know, his father was the dominant in the young Israel of worms. And his son, you know, went to Hank and became, you know, a gadol. And then what happens? Ubeno Rashi, Rotsu l'chabdo l'haskiro b'tchila chaburo. So Rashi wanted to do something to say it, you know, to give cover to his father. V'shomeng avav l'hachos eza kushi v'lechto v'shma. So Rashi said, Daddy, ask me a question, and I'll put it in there, whatever question it is. Fortunately, it was a good question, you put it in. And he answered, I thought it was a cute thing. I mean, what is Rabbi Yitzchak's question? Famous question. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, lo hayat tzarach lahaskel satora ela hachodesh hazelochem. Why does the Torah begin, right? Why do you start from Parshas Bereishis? Why don't you start, but from where? Hachodesh hazelochem, from the first mitzvah. The first mitzvah that you have in the Torah, which is later on Shemos, about Kiddush HaChodesh. Why don't you start from there? What's the assumption behind the question? That Torah is basically a Sefer HaMitzvahs. The whole purpose of the Torah is to tell us what's the mitzvah to do, all the 613 mitzvahs. Shehi mitzvah rishonah shenitztavu bo Yisrael. This is the first mitzvah that God gave us. Pasach Bevreishis. So Rashi gives his answer. Mishum koach ma'asav he gives the amo l'seis la hamnachas ha'goyim. Pasuk from Tehillim. We're going to discuss this in a few weeks. Koach ma'asav, the power of his actions, he gives the amo, was told to his nation, l'seis la hamnachas ha'goyim, to give them the place of the goyim. So when the world will say to the Jews that you are ganavim, atam shekivashtam arso shivas goyim, you stole the land of the seven nations, heimomrim lahem kol erisha kodesh baruch. So this is our answer, right? Isn't that what we're doing today?
He was a prophet. He knew that.
He was a prophet.
You went in 2018.
Right. This is our nation. This is our land. God gave it to us. Hu barav and nasan lasha yasha be'enav. Persona nasan lahem. God gives it to whoever he wants. And we'll stop by this with Rashi. So first of all, I'm going to go into Rashi's answer another time. But, I mean, even Rashi's answer, I'm sure, bothers you. I mean, it's. In fact, the Satmar Rebbe, which is just introducing this, also is like, what kind of an answer is that?
What do you mean, what kind of answer? Yeah.
So who's it speaking to? So when the list them Matem, so is it working today? Is it really working? I mean, it's a nice answer. It's right. I said, is that maybe sashkafically for us?
It has to work for us.
It has to work for us. So this is not really to the nation. It's for us. Okay. And there's a deeper idea behind it. The Ramban expands upon the question. The Ramban, the next verse, V'yeshlish O. Kitzorach gadol hu lahaskel ha-Torah. Of course, you have to start with the Bereishis. Why? Of course you have to start from here, because if you believe that the world was always here, that means that God didn't create it, So you're a kofer be'ikar. You're a kofer. You don't, you're a non-believer, but ain't no Torah klal. Moreover, but what he also points out, and that is just about tshuva, the Ramban says, let me explain to you why it's really a good question. Mitnesha hamasa bereisha sod amuk. The whole creation is a very deep concept. Einenu muvan min hamakraos, which you do not understand from the psukim. V'lo yodeya alborav. And you don't know from these psukim on God. Ela mipi ha-kabbalah ad Moshe Rabbeinu mipi ha-gvura. So the psukim that you're reading in Torah cannot be taken literally because it doesn't tell you the truth. You don't understand really how the world was created. When we get a little bit further, we'll see how the Ramban has a different theory of what, how the world was created.
What does that mean that this doesn't really say it? What is it saying then?
If there are ideas behind this, the Ramban will expand on that as we go through it. I'm just pointing out from the Ramban, he's saying the psukim themselves are not giving you the whole story. Right? And then it says, Ela Mipia Kabbalah and Moshe Rabbeinu. So there is a secret. That's from Yechezkel Masei Merkava. V'yodav chayavim lahastir oso. And those who know it, they can't tell you. L'chein omer Rabbi Yitzchak she'ein lahascholas ha-Torah tzorach bereishis bara. Therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak says, there's no reason to even start here. That's what he means to say. V'asipa p'mesh nivra b'yom rishon. Whatever was created on the first day. U'mash nasa. I don't even know where I'm going. What was that? You can follow me, but you know what? My wife Ashley can make it. Yeah. B'yom sheni b'shar ha-yomim. V'arichas b'yitziras adam l'chavo. And all the discussion about Adam Mechaber.
Yud Aleph.
I'm on Yud Aleph in V'chatam, V'onsham, and their sin and their punishment, the Sipur Gan Eden, Ugrishas Adam Imenu, and the throwing out of Adam, Kikolze Lo Yuvan Beinu Shlema Min Aksuvim. All of these stories you don't understand from the Aksuvim. And it's not even reason to tell all of them, but I'll add something a little more epicarstic over here. There are many people who will believe that all of these things that were mentioned are all allegorical. All of them. Even the Dor HaMabul, even the fact that there was a flood, that it's allegorical and never occurred. Adam v'Chava, allegorical means...
I know what it means, but where does it end?
That's the problem.
Rishi,
right. So the question, so let me tell you something that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said actually on this week's Parsha. Rabbi Yaakov said when the children of Yaakov meet each other, with Yaakov, and at the end, you know, this the Parsha's Vayechi, is the sistema. In other words, the two parshiyos, there's no separation between Vayigash and Vayichi. So what's the reason? One of the answers that Rashi says, that Yaakov wanted to give over the end of time to his children, and then it was stopped. He couldn't give it over. So he assumed that the reason why, because he thought his children may be off the derech or something. So what did they say? The Medrash says, they turned to him, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So Rabbi Yaakov says, they turned to Yaakov and they said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, how could you say such a thing? You don't tell your father such a thing, Shema Yisrael, right? He said, also when you learn, this is where we learn, Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha, where we learn that you don't take two simchas, you bring it together, from the story of Lavan. So Rabbi Yaakov says, you're telling me that we're learning from the story of love and a rasha, a halacha, of Eime Arvin Simcha B'Simcha? So he says an unbelievable statement. If why you guys said this, you throw him out. Rabbi Yaakov said, he said, the psukim in the Torah is not a historical work. They may never have occurred. He may never have said those words. This doesn't matter. The words are written in such a way, and the smichas of the psukim is to teach you an idea. That idea, and that's really part of our share as we're going to get through this, that idea is what the Torah is, the Torah truth, not the historical fact. So what exactly, which psukim in the Torah?
That's extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous.
Okay, okay.
Because then,
what's even more
Jewish then why should we be the Jewish people?
Do you believe in evolution?
I don't believe in Darwin's evolution, because Darwin's evolution hasn't been proven to be true.
Is it possible? Let's say it's proven to be true.
Could something be like evolution?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't. But
so what would you do?
Shown to be
so let me ask you a question. If it would come out to be true, would all of Torah be thrown out?
No.
Why not?
Because there's nothing inconsistent with taking it what it says and there being evolution.
How do you say that?
How long was the day before the sun came into it? But how long was the day?
Who was Adam Harishon?
What?
Who was Adam Harishon?
I don't know.
Was Adam Harishon the first man created?
Yes.
So if he was the first man created, he wasn't an ape.
I don't think he was an ape.
I don't think so either.
But wait a second.
But it's possible.
What does that mean, he was creating? Creation could mean that the process which Hashem used to create, and I don't believe in straight evolution, but it could be that the process that Hashem created Adam was through evolution. There's nothing inconsistent
about that. The Medrash says that there were 9 worlds created before this world.
The Medrash says.
Why does the Medrash say that?
Because of the... I don't know.
And it's just possible.
Of course it's possible.
Even Rav Soloveitchik said, as far as the story of Adam, Harishon, and Chava, the being Gan Eden, he said, first of all, the Rabbah said the same thing. He said, it never happened. He said, man can't exist in Gan Eden. It's an idea behind it. It's an idea. But I'm just telling you that what I'm saying. By the way, listen. What I'm saying is not a davar chiddush. It's not even in the name of Rabbi Yaakov. We could go back thousands of years to show you source after source to say this is not. And you'll see also here. You'll see the Ramban. When the Ramban talks about creation, he says nowhere near what happened. You'll see. Wait.
If everything is allegory,
but a lot of people
then the
don't
world
believe what you're
us,
saying.
Right. I know. Okay.
The
I'm just
telling us you don't belong in Eretz Israel.
Don't go to the answer. Don't go to the answer. I don't want to go into the answer of Rashi today. Don't go to the answer. Anyhow, She'ein Tzorech Bahem Gadol.
I'm saying that in general, this philosophy, that everything is allegory, then we have
no one is saying that everything is allegory.
So how do you determine what's allegory?
Okay,
what's
so not? That's why you have Rishonim, that's why you have ideas with the Rabbanu Chachamim who were given the Sod. That's what we're saying.
Unless it's based on the oral tradition that this is an allegory.
Okay, exactly. Really so everyone has their own thing to understand. Fine.
But I always believed that the bedrock is Emunah, and it starts with Bereishis, because Bereishis talks of the concept of Yesh Me'ayin, God created
exactly.
out of nothing. And so
right.
and so that's why it starts, to
right.
establish Emunah.
Correct. So what the Ramban is saying, okay, so say Bereishis Bara Elokim, skip all the other stories. That's what he's saying. Bereishis Bara Elokim, you have to go through everything. And even when you go through everything, you don't even understand what everything is saying. Why do you have to tell me about Adam? Why do you have to tell me stories of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov and all? That's what Ramban is saying. And even the Mabul, he says, you don't understand what happened. There's a Sod behind it. I don't know. What's the deeper Sod? What's the deeper Sod? He's not just saying words. Okay. So I don't want to go through Rashi's answer. I want to go through something else. So let me first introduce it with something from the Satmar Rebbe. Which all the way to the back.
Keep them in the back.
All the way to the back. The Divrei Yellow. And he questions immediately. When you go all the way to the back and right before it, it's off Yud Beis of the Divrei Yellow. You got it? The Medrash. Behuva Barashi. So he says right away. It's in a Medrash and it's brought down in Rashi. Amar Rav Yitzchak. L'ho Yitzchak l'haskel satara ele me'achodosh az elochem.
Which one?
Oh, it's on the last Yud Beis on the left-hand side. My time apostle Bebracious, Mishim Koach Masav Higil Yamo, L'seis tohem nachos goyim. She'im yomru ha'umo sa'olam. So he quotes Rashi. Listen, mishkivashim arto shivasa goyim. Him omrim kola erisha kodesh. Everything belongs to God. Hu bara v'nasna l'asha yasha be'enav adkan. U be'enai, and in my eyes, he plea gazola l'chora. Mashallah matzah tam acha elama shaldi elana kash baruch bar alam. I can't believe, this is the answer Rashi's giving. Ela kadesh lo yomru ha'akam listam atam. Halo ha'muna b'briya shamayim ba'aretz hu mekar l'chola tarakula. It's the ikar. Believing that God created the world. If you don't believe in this, you can't follow any mitzvah. Even Bnei Noach, they have to believe in that. Skip. Right. That's even a good enough reason for me, he's saying. You don't even need this. God created the world. Gave us what Asher Yosheb Einav. Gam be'ikka hadaba ein b'zeh shum teiris ha'kushis ha'umus ha'olam sh'yem listam atem. And that's not even a good answer to them. Chi im yavo echad v'listam es chaver. Someone stole something from his friend. Hacha yucha l'taris ha'atzmo. Ha'kadosh baruch ha'bara olam v'nosam lo. Someone steals from me, he says, yeah, you know, I'm stealing it from you. You know why? God created the world and gave it to me. Memanushech, im yirtu ha'umos kinitan lanu ha'ariz b'derek gam ayinais ayidei HaKadosh Baruch. And he'll tell you something else. If you see that we got Eretz Yisrael through a miracle, they're not going to have any shilas. Oh, of course God gave it to you. V'lo kocheinu ba'otzim yodeinu osa lanu zos. By the way, that's already a hint. In his very beginning, the Sama Rebbe is agenda-driven in many of his pshatim. Very agenda-driven. He just, his whole thing was like, you know, against taking over Medinat Yisrael again. So somehow he sneaks it in there.
Did he believe that once Mashiach came, it would be a Jewish land again? Or
of course, yeah. He still loved Eretz Yisrael. B'lav hachi lo yuchel loma listam on him. So anyhow, so he's good questions. So go to the next page. And this is how I want to introduce a different idea of what I want to say, one of the reasons. There are many reasons why we're to answer Rabbi Yitzchak. V'yei Shlomo, it's on the right-hand side all the way in the bottom.
What
the last page. The very last page. V'yei Shlomo Od. De'be'emez k'dei lehodiyu lanu ha'mitzus l'kaimem ha'yedai l'hasma ha'chodesh hazeh l'chem shimiz. Yeah, you could have started from that parsha. Ubishvil tam ha'amuna hoya efsha sheyikav enne besof ha'Torah o baseres ha'dibros. And moreover, you could have somehow fitted in either at the end of the Torah or in the Ten Commandments. Kemosha kasov ha'klei yokar. Emnon le'inyan briyas olam lomad dechsev Hashem b'chachma yisad ha'aretz. What does it mean that God with chachma, with wisdom, founded the world? V'isa b'medrash rabash ha'torah ha'kadosha hi kli umnaso shakadosh baruch hu shabo bara ha'olam. The Torah itself is the utensil. It is the kli of the umnaso of how umnaso his profession shabo bara ha'olam ule'inyan ze en chilek v'chol Torah kula. Hushava, the entire Torah is important. Bezeva hu kula shmosav shalkadosh baruch hu kinoda. Let me. What does it mean? That the entire Torah contains his names. Now, what the Sama Rebbe is hinting at is this: the Akedas Yitzchak, who was a philosopher during the times of the Abarbanel, writes simply, "What does it say? Bereshis bara Elokim." What should it have said? Elokim bara b'bereshis. Usually you say, "Who?" You know, you state the person, not even that, not just a noun. You say, if someone created something, what do you say? The person created X. Why do you say bereshis bara Elokim? See, the Kedush says there are two types of individuals. An individual which says you know who he is, what he's all about, so you put him first. Bereshis bara Elokim is you have no direct knowledge of God. How do you have knowledge of God? Through his creation. The Rambam calls this a negative theology. We have no positive notion of God. You can only know what he's not. You look at ourselves. Or you look at the rationale of the world. Or you look, as the Rishtamer Rebbe is saying, is all of Torah, through the study of Torah, you will discover positive knowledge of God.
Don't we also have a belief that in just living by the Torah, observing the mitzvot,
yeah,
not just studying it, but right, living by it, that right, gets us gives us an understanding
in Achanami, in Achanami. But you want to have a total knowledge of God. You want to come closer to God.
That's never going to happen.
It doesn't mean you don't strive for it. But we're going to, the question is now, let me just
us to have a total knowledge of God.
Listen, look at, open up the beginning of Mishneh Torah. Yisodos, leida, to know God.
Yes,
that's
but
the Rambam.
Does he say that we're supposed to, yes, knowing God.
So how are you going
to
know God?
But the idea that we're going to totally know every aspect.
See, well, no one ever gets to know all of God, but you have to know more than just doing the mitzvahs. And also, you want to find out, well, let me tell you where I'm going with this. You'll better understand. Is there an ethic outside of Torah and mitzvahs?
No.
Probably not.
Really?
Yes.
Do you get a mitzvah? When you say there's no other, what do you mean that there's no Torah ethic outside of it?
Ethics and morality come from Hashem.
What's Lifnei Meshuras Hadin? Lifnei Meshuras Hadin, the Torah says I have to give 20%, 10% tzedakah. Lifnei Meshuras Hadin, I'm giving more tzedakah. What about giving tzedakah to a guy? Am I mekayim a mitzvah of giving tzedakah? The answer is no. So is there any reason to give a mitzvah and give money to a guy?
From commentary. And
what is commentary? Who's commentary?
No, there is
Gedolah.
It's not a mitzvah.
Not a mitzvah at all.
No.
Are you accomplishing anything?
You are accomplishing
what
something.
What am I accomplishing?
You could do something that's reaching out to your fellow man.
If the Torah doesn't mention, if you're saying that it contains everything, if the Torah doesn't mention it, then why am I doing it?
You don't have to do everything that's just.
So what am I accomplishing then?
So we have Nevi'im, who take, apparently...
Nevi'im are part of Torah.
But they never had a unique... I've been told many times, Nevi'im never had a unique idea.
So they're coming... So they're expanding. They're expanding upon it.
Right.
But they're getting it from where? They're getting it from God.
They add to what's not in God.
What I want to show you, one idea is that there is an ethic outside of the 613 mitzvahs. And the reason why the Torah cannot be a book of Sefer HaMitzvahs is that you would come away with the wrong notion that Torah is all-inclusive. There's nothing exists out of it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the source of all ethics will come back to God, as far as I'm concerned. There are those who are going to say no. But as far what I want to show is that there is an ethic outside of the Torah, which you would not get if you were just given a Sefer HaMitzvahs. You would assume, if it's within these Dalit Kanfos, then it is an action for us to do. But if it's not, then it can't be found there. So let me ask you a different question. Is it ethical today to go out and kill all of Amalek?
Great question.
If we knew who Amalek was.
Yeah, we knew all of Amalek. You wouldn't have any problem.
I would have...
Murder them all.
I would have no problem with it.
A Ben Sora Mora. Find him. Let's kill him. Will we do that?
No.
Why didn't they do that?
It has to be a Beis Din.
Why? Okay, so we'll get it. We're coming close. We'll get a Beis Din. Why don't we do that? No one's going to say to do that.
Wasn't Shaul actually castigated because he was commanded to do that?
Correct.
He didn't, and it was considered immoral?
Yes.
So doesn't the Torah tell us that this idea that, today we don't have to destroy Amalek,
could be
wrong?
Could the Jews do that today? I'm just asking.
If we could.
Would you have any problem today if we had a Sanhedrin finding someone who was a homosexual and stone him to death?
Would you do that also for people who violated Shabbos?
Would you have a problem with that today? So.
Yes, but it has to be. Wait a second. Let's remember what it has to be. It has to be, you tell the person you can't do
this.
And if you do it, you're
going to
get
it. You do all of that. You do all of that.
I wouldn't have a problem.
You wouldn't have a problem.
I wouldn't.
I think his answer is correct because society has to be run by laws. And if you have the proper institution and you have the laws, then you follow the laws and they have the authority. So if you had a Sanhedrin,
right,
you'd follow it.
But this, you also have to keep in mind, how many times did the Sanhedrin actually do the death penalty? Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they carry that out?
Because...
It's true. Why didn't they carry it out?
They were lawyers. Around.
Because maybe Hashem is saying, telling us through all the ways that you have to be able to do the death penalty, that he really doesn't want the death penalty to be done. But it's under the concept of the law. It deters us from doing it. But Hashem, by making it so difficult, we actually do it. And you have to have witnesses. Told him, witnesses to the event. All these things are deterrents to actually carrying out the death penalty. It's all built into Torah. So the same process that tells you shouldn't be doing this is the same process that says we realize people are human beings.
So where does it say that in the Torah not to carry it out?
What?
Where does it say that in the Torah not to carry it out?
The mechanisms, though, that are built in.
Where was the mechanism built in the Torah not to carry it out?
Where was it built?
It's not built in tradition. It's not built in tradition.
It says very clearly that you should follow the judges in that time.
In that time. So
right.
Where did those judges get the right to all of a sudden not enforce the law?
It is enforcing the law. You need witnesses to the actual commission of the event. You need witnesses.
40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they stopped carrying out the death penalty for all cases. Didn't matter. They stopped carrying out.
Wow. Where's the second?
The second Beis HaMikdash. They said it was too much. We're not doing it anymore. What gave them the right to do that? Doesn't anywhere say that in the Torah. I don't think you appreciate what I'm trying to say.
But where did it prohibit it?
The question is, if you tell me it's a Sefer HaMitzvahs, this is an ethical guide, then you have to follow the ethical guide. If you go against the ethical guide, you're being immoral. Unless you want to tell me there's something beyond this ethical guide. Now let me show you something from a Torah perspective, halachically, and then we'll go through some articles. Not everything today. First of all, giving tzedakah. Which go back to, it's now page 83. The first, you got it?
Yes.
It's important that Beryl has it.
Shmuel Wurzberger.
You know who he was.
Walter Wurzberger?
Yeah. Shanina begitten samach aleph, mefarnesen aniye nachrim im aniye Yisrael. You support the poor of the Goyim with the poor of the Jews. Umavakim choli nachem, you visit Gentile ill. Im choli Yisrael. V'kovr masay nachem im masay Yisrael med mei darchei shalom.
Mm-hmm.
What is darchei shalom?
We don't hold from that.
Darchei shalom is to peace in the world, to live in the world, to be with other people.
Is that a
self-preservation amongst one thing?
It's wisdom as opposed to
self-preservation, meaning
if you don't, you'll get a clap and cup because you're not following something that's recognizing humanity.
So it's a very Thomas Hobbesian notion of contract law. I am not going to punch you in the face for one reason. You're going to punch me. Rashi kvar hidgish b'peirusho al v'kovrim masay nachem imasay. Rashi took your idea. Tahayne shekovrim tam dafke imotzam harukim im Yisrael. Only if they're with the Jews. Var Mordechai nachat b'Rashi, so the Mordechai explained in Rashi, Yifsak she'ein mis'askim b'masei nachem, ele b'shosh mis'askim b'masei Yisrael. Only when it's simultaneously. Baram, the Ran fights with Rashi, lav tafke b'masei Yisrael, ele mis'askim b'hem afil b'makim she'ein shom meisei Yisrael she'tzrifim k'vur. Rashi comes out from a certain perspective, the way Mordechai understands him. Oh, let me put it this way. UNICEF, well, UNICEF's not a good thing, so we don't want to give. But let's say, you know, you're walking in the street, and no one's going to see you. No one's going to see you. Cross the street. Any reason to go across the street to help this guy, to give him money, no one's going to see you whatsoever. You know for a fact. No one's going to see you not giving tzedakah to this particular cause. So Rashi seems to tell you, don't do it. Yeah, don't go across the street and give him money. No reason to. In fact, what does it mean in Mesas? So we learned this from a Mechama with David HaMelech. The David HaMelech was bearing both the Goyim and the non and the Jews. He buried both of them. So there Rashi said, what are you doing it for? Dachi Shalom. What does that mean? Because if it gets out that you were burying only the Jews and not the Goyim, that's going to be a Chil Hashem. So Darchei Shalom is, the way you were saying, self-preservation. It's the only reason I'm doing it.
Let me ask you, let's take reality today. The most moral nation on the earth is Israel. It takes people who give, the people who want to destroy it, it gets medical treatment.
Yeah.
It goes out of its way.
Right.
Goes to Syria. They have civil war.
Right.
They both hate the Jews,
right.
But they go help them. And the world knows this. Does it get better?
Whoa,
it gets worse.
Stop, this idea.
Wait, finish my point.
You didn't get the idea yet.
No, the idea that we're doing it because we have to seem like we're doing the right thing.
Right.
And out of peace and out of promoting that.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Therefore what?
And therefore there's no reason to have to do it.
Oh, okay. Now let me show you how the Rambam understood that. To create a totally different idea of why we do it, and it has nothing to do because of them. Of course, you are impatient. I'm going to skip this. Okay, go to page 85. Well, let me tell it to you outside, it'll be easier. The Gemara here in Bava Metzia brings down one pasuk. And from that pasuk, we darshan of Darchei Shalom. That the reason why we have to mefarnes, we have to help, but that we have to bury them, we have to mefarnes them, comes the Rambam. And he adds another pasuk to what the Torah said. V'halachta b'drachav. He just throws in that pasuk. Comes the Rav, and many others, Rav Unterman. What does V'halachta b'drachav mean? Imesh yodei. Imitating of God. As the Rav put it, Torah itself, the mitzvos, are minimum de minimis. That's the least that God wants out of you. Follow my Torah. Then there's something else on top of it. V'halachta b'drachav. Which is supersedes or is above Torah. The reason why the Rambam is explaining you are helping the Gentiles is not because of Darchei Shalom in your son. Darchei Shalom, so it's self-preservation. Darchei Shalom. Who's Shalom? Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're going in the derech of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's a very different notion. That is an ethic, and I'll show you as we go through some of the articles, that is an ethic that's not found within the dalit confos of the mitzvahs. That's above it. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to imitate the ways of God. It's not stated in the Torah. How am I going to find it? Well, I'm using the lashon of the Satmar Rebbe, studying all of the Torah, has all of its names. What does it mean, the names? Every name of God denotes a different idea about God. All of it together will teach you how to be a better person. How does it mean to emulate God? Therefore, it can't be just a Sefer HaMitzvos. You have to start from Bereishis Bara Elokim. You have to go through the entire story of the Avos. You have to see through the stories of the way it is written. That's why I'm also saying it doesn't matter anymore. Historical truth or non-historical truth, or your understanding or not understanding of it. Doesn't matter. You look at the words, you say, you'll teach a child. Avram is sitting at the Parshas Vayera. What does that mean? What was Avram doing? He was sad. He was sitting at the front of his tent and he's looking out the whole time. Then all of a sudden what happens? Three malachim come over. And they look like they were regular people. Right? And what's he in the middle doing? He's talking to God. So now, explain to me, what happened over there? Was he actually sitting talking to God? You know, just sitting there with a tea and a little umbrella. And he's talking to God and they're having a whole conversation. You know, Peseretzach, how are you?
Prophecy.
So when all the Rishonim say, it was prophecy. What does prophecy mean? It's only Moshe Rabbeinu was up during prophecy. Everyone else is asleep. They're not up. You can't be up in a prophecy. It's a vision. Vision means it's like in a dream. The difference, but then the Rambam goes through all the 60 levels of what a prophet is. You know, how do you get it? 60 levels of it. So what is the pshat over there? He was in a vision. And a vision runs that Avram Avinu is walking, is having a vision of three malachim coming to him.
Who's having the vision?
Avram. Because it's part of a prophecy. It's not that they actually occurred.
So there was a guy named Avram.
I would hope so. Right, maybe he was a fiction.
We're
right.
Certainly betting
it was an allegory.
Why does it have to be Avram? No, why isn't it Moshe's vision? Because Moshe is the one that's getting it.
Right.
Writing it down.
So you know what? If you told me in the end that all of the stories that are found in Chumash are not really 100, as long as I believe, I mean, I don't believe that. But as long as I believe that it's Torah Mishamayim, God gave me this Torah directly from God.
At Sinai.
Doesn't matter. Okay? So that idea is, V'halakta B'drachav is one idea. The other thing would be, now what happened, now I'm going into a dangerous place, you know, but I'm saying that it's beyond that, because, listen, there's a discussion, for example, today. I mean, and you have to understand, there's a question today where people say, you know, a lot of this, sometimes I have a lot of conversations with this Rabbi Yisoska Katz, who's from Kovove. And
Rabbi Weiss's
yes.
Crew?
So one of the things which he is very much, you know, like, he is a great defender of the LGBTQ world.
No.
So one of his ideas is that, you know, and listen, it's an issue today. You know, what do we do as halachic Jews with the idea, and if you want to say halachta bedrachav, mahu racham afato racham, just that he is merciful, we're merciful. What happens when the world's ethics collide with our ethics?
The world's ethics. But the whole idea is that you are a light unto the nations, and the world's ethics aren't supposed to get in the way of that.
Yes, but I will tell you, every single Rav of any caliber will tell you today that if you would go out and kill all of Amalek, you are creating the greatest Chilul Hashem of all time.
Who cares?
Every Rav will tell you that. So when you say, who cares, I would say to you, what exact Torah are you following? If we're not going to follow the Divrei Chazal, then we're not following Torah either. You can't.
So if Hashem said to them...
If Hashem...
No, I'm saying we don't know who Amalek is. I would agree with you on that.
So
we don't know.
But
we can't,
I'm saying
know
even if we knew who Amalek was today, they will tell you the mitzvah is not applicable today. They will come out and tell you not to do
based
it.
Based on what?
Every Chazal. All of Chazal will tell you it's no longer... We shouldn't count this today. So the question is, where are they getting that from?
Right.
Not the point, but that's the mama. Okay. So let's begin our first article. So when we get to Rabbi Lamb has a fascinating approach to this whole concept of this whole concept of of, let's say, he was bothered by this idea of the mulek. There was a, put out by, this, it was put out by, you know, the Orthodox Forum. One of the questions was on the ethics of war, and the idea which he was discussing was this notion of killing a mulek today. He comes up with a very interesting theory, we're not going to get to that today, of evolving ethics, even within Torah, an evolving ethic. That there are many aspects in the Torah itself which he no longer adhere to, and the question is why. And he explains what, and that, if you go back to this idea of a halachta bedrachav, is what is the deeper meaning of halachta bedrachav? Why isn't Torah just 100% complete? So one answer I guess you give is that it can't be. Every generation has different, right? Different ideas. I mean, I would say even today, if there was a Sanhedrin today, I don't believe for one second the Sanhedrin would put homosexuals to death. Or Mechalalei Shabbos to death. I don't believe for one second.
Being a homosexual is not us, or it's doing a homosexual
act. Oh yeah, they did the homosexual act. I mean, I realize that. They always, you know, that's okay. Yeah.
I'm just trying to
a little bit. Yeah, Konami. I'm talking about, you know, doing everything.
So why wouldn't you think, if let's say some, the whole thing is that they're saying that homosexuality is a choice. What happens if it's not a choice, like being autistic?
Okay. That argument. If it's not a choice, you were born this way. Let's say that argument. Okay. How would we look at that? I mean, we do have a concept already in Torah, in Halacha of the last century. Both Rav Chazon Ish and Rav Kook both said today there's no longer considered a mum lahachas. You can't have a mum lahachas.
What is
a mum lahachas? If a person who is not Shomer Shabbos in public, and doing this because, in other words, he did this on purpose. I went to yeshiva my whole life. I hate God. I'm not going to observe Shabbos. So the mum lahachas, first of all, is considered a guy. His mom is a guy. And you could, let's say you put him to death. So the Chazon Ish and Rav Kook both said today, there's no such thing as a mum lahachas. Why not? He said because they don't have the proper understanding. They don't have this the proper understanding of God. God is, you know, the last time we actually spoke directly with God, thousands of years ago, and today the Yetzer Hara is so prevalent, and therefore people are not making a rational decision. Based on that, I will say that the fact that the ethics of the world is so convoluted against ideas that we think, therefore I don't think it would be enforced. So let me start with the first article by J.D. Blech, page 125 in English, it'll be easier. Is there a standard of Nimashuras Hadin, or is the sole moral standard that of Din itself? The Nimashuras Hadin goes beyond the letter of the law. The answer to the question, of course, is formulated as obvious. Rabbinic literature is replete with references to ethical norms described as Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. The very juxtaposition of the two categories constitutes an acknowledgement of standards of Lifnim Mishuras Hadin, which are not coextensive with Din.
Coextensive?
Yeah. Nevertheless, you'll have to get your SAT words. Okay. Nevertheless,
not coextensive.
The question is entirely cogent. It need only be recast in a somewhat different form. The question properly posed is the standard described as Lifnim Mishuras Hadin in actuality simply another aspect of a multifaceted halacha, or does the category of Lifnim Mishuras Hadin in some fundamental sense transcend halacha? So the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvah Katan, enumerates the obligation of acting with Nimashuras Hadin as one of the 613 mitzvahs. In support of this thesis, the Smak cites the statement of the Gemara. Rav Yochanan said Yerushalayim was destroyed because the inhabitants judged in accordance with Torah law. Uh-huh. An amazing statement?
Yeah.
Yerushalayim was destroyed because the inhabitants judged in accordance with Torah law. What does that mean?
First or second Korban?
He's talking about the second Rabbi Yochanan.
The second Beit HaMikdash.
Second. What does that mean? Just that statement.
Too strict.
How could it be too strict? Now, what is hidden underneath Rabbi Yochanan's statement? And Smak is making an amazing statement. I'll show you others can disagree with that. The Smak says that it's what you were saying, it's built in within the system. But what does that mean? That Yerushalayim was destroyed because the inhabitants judged in accordance with Torah law. What other law should they have used?
Well, I think, like, if you had a dispute between two civil litigants, and the law depended upon, you know, somebody got everything. The system is also supposed to be that you're supposed to try to avoid even having to go to litigation and try to work it out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't promoting trying to have peace between people.
Who says they were?
Resolving things.
Who says they were? That's not what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, you came finally to hear, we judged you in accordance with Torah law. Underneath what he's saying is, with the Fnim Meshur Sadin, what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, your mistake was, there's an ethic outside of the Torah, and you should have consulted it. Let me ask you a question. Avram Avinu, when he's challenging God, how could you destroy these people? It's beneath you. Beneath you to do such a thing.
Because he felt a loyalty to the Jewish people.
That's Stam and Gemara.
Oh.
Yeah, there's no loyalty there.
So your question is, how could you learn?
You're questioning, I mean, God is moral. You're telling God is being immoral. You're reminding God, by the way, according to, what is he saying to him? What is the argument there?
I think there's more to be considered.
If there are some righteous people out there,
I think there's more to be considered.
Would God himself have killed people if there were righteous people there? No, you're talking, you explain.
Maybe.
Who is the source of morality? God or you? Have you ever thought of that question?
Yeah.
We talk about Avram Avinu with this whole thing, blah, 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 blah. Avram Avinu, what is he doing? He's questioning the morality of God. Mm-hmm. And why doesn't God search him like we say this of, like we do this on Yom Kippur?
Yeah.
You know, I hear one more question, I'm going to destroy the whole world.
Because God does expect us to believe that there's an inherent justice in the way his world works. And on the surface of it, it does seem like.
So why is Avraham asking him these questions? He doesn't ask him once. If there's 45, if there's 40,
God wants
if
him to 30. Ask them, because God wants him to ask those questions. God wants him to say that he has a sense of justice and believe that there is a sense of justice in the world. Not just Hashem says it's done, but that there's an inherent justice in the Torah and the way Hashem operates the world.
Exactly. But
that's why he wants.
He wants us to ask God.
Yes.
I don't know. When I'm asking God, I'm questioning his sense of morality. And that already is him, but God is the moral being. How can I be asking such a question? Obviously, if God feels that all of Sodom and Gomorrah should be killed, even though there are 45 or 50 righteous people, that's a moral statement. If God feels that all of Amalek should be destroyed, it's a moral statement. Don't ask any questions.
Yeah, but God doesn't expect us to be robots and not have, in fact, he wants us not to be robots.
Where do you
he
see
wants
that?
Us to believe that there is a sense of justice in what's being done.
That's not a robot.
The question.
Did Abraham himself, did he question about the Akedah in the Torah itself? Not by Midrash.
No.
Why not? I mean, kill your son. I'll do that.
Right,
I'm there. Okay. But you know, these people I don't know about.
I'm going to let you kill. Because it really only involved him.
No. There was a little kid involved.
Yes, but it's his son. Okay.
And therefore what? You have a right to kill your son?
No.
Why not?
But I'm saying when it came to protecting others, he believed that he had to
protect. He had to protect his son also. That's another. No. It's just an other. Yeah.
Yeah, look, Abraham was told by God to sacrifice his son, okay? And then the Malach came, not God, and told him not to do that.
Twice.
Okay, so Abraham had a choice. you either listen to God and his first message, okay, or the Malach, who is below God, listen to the Malach. Avram had to make a choice. And he made a moral choice not to sacrifice his son based on what the Malach told him. You know, that there was a ram there. So Avram had to make a choice. And he made a moral choice. And I think
I'll hold off on your point. My point really, and Mike, this question which I'm talking about Avram, we'll get to next week. I want to show you how this professor from Yale, I can't remember her name. She's not Jewish. She's a professor of religion in Yale University.
Now?
And yes, and she's a Bucky and Shas. And I want to show you, she's unbelievable. I want to say how she deals with this idea of divine law. You have to understand, we'll get a little bit from divine law. What is the source of divine law? The Greeks understood divine law is based on the rationale. Based on reason, there is divine law. You follow it because of the reason. We believe both reasons. We believe that we follow divine law because it's from the divine, and because it's from divine, it also is reasonable.
And inherently just.
So therefore, on that, what was Avraham doing in his question? What I want to say from Rav Yochanan, where the Smak is pointing out from Rav Yochanan, is that obviously there was a concept of morality outside of the world of the of Torah itself.
But why do you assume that that's outside the Torah?
Well, there is something outside of Torah. The question is, can that source also then come through Torah?
Why is it assumed that that's outside Torah?
It's a good question. So let me ask you a question. When did we start with the concept of Yibum?
The Levirate marriage?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's the source is Torah.
It was before the Torah.
Oh, really?
We see that from this week's Pasha, last week. Yehuda and Tamar. The whole thing over there. Of course, there should be a Yibum.
That's brother.
They all had it. They all had it.
It wasn't strictly Yibum because he ended up doing it, and Yibum is only a brother.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So let's that. But the fact that this seems. So that's why I want to go through these articles. I want to show you how they come up with this notion that there is a separate ethic outside of Torah. Then the next thing, or let me end with this. I don't want you to stay later. But let me end with this concept. So when you get that there is something called maybe a natural law, as Rabbi Black is going to say. This seems to be a natural law that people know that they have to look at. They know that sense of morality. It seems to be existent then. Otherwise, why would I be doing it? The V'halachta b'drachav is that I'm following God. But the 613 mitzvahs in of itself, let me just, the idea that I'm trying to create today. The 613 mitzvahs itself, to answer Rabbi Yitzchak's question, had it been like a Sefer Mitzvah Gedola, it would have been like the Sefer HaMitzvahs put out by the Rambam. If that's all you had, this notion of an ethic independent of the 613 mitzvahs, you would not understand, you would not know. Nor would you know how to find it. I'll end off with this concept from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman.
What about the girl from Yale?
We're going to do that next week.
Next.
You got to come back.
Okay, now you got me back.
Yeah, it's in here. It's really, she's...
We'll come back.
You got to read a book.
Could you argue, though, the whole thing between Abraham and all the Sodom and Gomorrah and God, that was God teaching us the quote-unquote natural law and the morality?
Oh, so you want to say that we needed the story. I'll take that. We needed the story to show that God wants us.
True. I mean, I don't think it's allegory necessarily.
I'm not saying it's not. It's a nevuah. It could be, you want to say the story itself that God was telling man, don't just take something, I want you to analyze it in the world, in the concept of world ethics. All right, I'll take that. I'll take that as a possibility.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Also, there came a point where Abraham shut up. He pushed it to a point.
Yeah, the question is why he
said.
Question why he did.
Hashem is doing this out of justice. That's it.
Right.
And I have to now. Question him.
Right.
I've searched it. I've done.
Wait till you see next week how this Rebbetzin answered. Unbelievable. Rebbe Chanan Wasserman said as follows. He was in Machlokas Rambam and the Ramban about why do you follow Dinei de Rabbanans? So the Rambam has a very simple answer. The reason why you do is because all the Rabbanans of Los Asuru are really a Daraisa, but the Chachamim themselves said, don't keep it on the level of the Daraisa, move it down to a Darabbanan. Okay? The Ramban doesn't agree with that. So now Rav Chanan asks on the Ramban, so what's the power? What's the real reason? First of all, he's saying, why do you follow the Rabbanim? And then he asks really a different question I would ask. Why did Rabbanim create all these other gezeiras, takanas? Like, what were they trying to do? So he says an amazing concept. He says, the Gemara Yavama says there were six things that Moshe did. Three things God agreed with him, and three things God disagreed with him. This pshat in the Gemara is what you are doing, what the Rabbanim are trying to do through their knowledge of Torah, is to seek out the Ratzon Hashem. What does God really want? The Ratzon Hashem is something much more. That's what is in the literal word. I think as we go through Hasidish Shatim, you will see that. That's what they're constantly trying to figure out. What is the deeper Ratzon of Hashem? So that concept of following the Ratzon Hashem is by definition saying it's not found in the written word. So you have to have the stories, you have to have everything. It's not found in the written mitzvah. It's much deeper. Where do you get that? From Kol HaTorah Kula, all the Midrashim, everything. But especially, you have to start in Parshas Bereishis, because Parshas Bereishis is giving you the blueprint to discover the Ratzon Hashem, which is not found in the 613 mitzvahs. Or it helps you find it in every mitzvah to find the deeper Ratzon Hashem over there. That's the beginning. Next week, let's bring in the woman.
Could it be both that's in here? Why is it referring to the author? Why can't the mitzvah
I'm just trying. I just want to shut this up. I got. Oh, so now I. Now I